Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast, the recap of UAE Tour Stage 2, the individual time trial around Al Hudayriyyat Island, 12.1 kilometers long. It is pancake flat, and it's not an out and back. It's a loop with actually a few sharp corners in it, and intermediate time check about halfway through the time trial, about 6.5 minutes in, but very, very, I think, important wind conditions for this course. It seemed as they went northwest, they had a bit of a headwind, and then it was much quicker on the way back home, even despite having much more corners in the final part of the course, at least if I've got it correct. So important TT for GC. No one like really from the top five of Worlds last year, no Tarling, no Remco, no Ganna, no Van Aert level sort of TT riders. We're looking at the start times for all the riders, Benji, and we can't really figure it out. Normally, what's the normal go with the TT that isn't a prologue? You just go in order of your GC position.
Yeah, opposite to the order of GC, if I recall correctly. There's a specific rule that if it's a prologue or a first TT or whatever, then you can choose. But I also think there's an adaption to that rule where the world champion needs to start last or something in that area. But if it's stage two, you on paper go in the opposite direction of GC. So the last rider in GC goes first. But apparently that was not the case today, because one of the riders in this time trial said that after the stage, they chose their order of their team based on the weather conditions. And the weather conditions that said rider said, we'll spoil towards the end of the podcast who that rider was, but he said that there was supposed to be more wind towards the end of this time trial. And I'll be honest, I felt like there was a bit of a difference between the first riders and the last riders in the time they took in the first half versus the last half, just visually, but I couldn't tell it from like the flagpoles at the finish line whether the wind had picked up or nothing. So I don't know if it really picked up, but it might have.
Yeah, we don't have anyone on the ground with a wind measurement device on 5 different sections of the course, but it seemed like UAE had the correct forecast, having McNulty go early. He wins this TT by 2 seconds ahead of his teammate Jay Vine, and another 2 seconds to third, Mikael Bjerg. So UAE lockout 1, 2, 3. All of those riders went earlier than, I would say, favorites, other contenders for the stage, like Cavagna, Johan Price Pedersen, Tobias Foss. Very, very strong TT from McNulty. Adam Yates, their teammate, finished 28 seconds down. I did think he'd be a little bit better, a little bit quicker, closer to sort of the 10th region, but still a good day for UAE overall. That's why I got the USA t-shirt on for this for American World Tour victory, and McNulty's first TT victory outside of the United States National Championships time trial, and his third World Tour victory overall. So yeah, he's got to be happy with that.
But we have to say, before this UAE Tour started, it was a bit of a bland play when it comes to GC. We saw Adam Yates as the guy that was going to destroy people on Jebel Hafid, would do a relatively good TT. But can I add some spice? Can I add some optional friendly fire in the coming days? As in McNulty, Vine, Biel. Obviously, Biel not really the GC rider of those three. Vine and McNulty are relatively co-leaders in one-week races, I'd say, for UAE Team Emirates. On paper, Adam Yates is going to destroy everyone on Jebel Hafid, but can we see something like Jabal Al-Akhdar, where we might have Adam Yates now riding a bit more defensively, knowing that McNulty and Vine are ahead of all the rest of the competition in GC?
I think it's more like what happened with Vingegaard on Tourmalet, no? Doesn't Yates now, with such a big gap, go early on her feet?
Well, I think he goes early anyway, but...
to me, it looks like they're the three GC riders, and they can lock out the GC podium.
Yeah.
And you can't ask McNulty, with such a big time gap to Yates, 28 seconds, you can't ask him to sacrifice his GC position. And then Vine, 26 seconds ahead of Yates. Is he really going to, like, especially for this team, it's a big race, just sacrifice his GC position? They got Ivo Oliveira here and Bjarg. Bjarg can do a good pull on Jabel Jais or the base of her feet, for example. So they do have, who else they got here? UA Hodge or Oliveira. Navarana. Yeah. It kind of is all those three now looking to be on the GC podium at the end. They got Langen as well. But yeah, that Yates gap, if it was 12 seconds, 15 seconds, then I'm like, her feet, he'll take the 10 bonies, he'll get a 10 to 15 second gap. But now GC looks a lot closer, especially with the Uni Puerto. McNulty's done really, really good watts so far this year. It's not so clear that Yates will run away with this.
What I do think about now is how will other teams take on those riders? I know we're like straddling about the GC instead of the TT, but we'll get into the TT in a second. But if you're, for example, a Bilbao or an Ilan Van Wilder, or you're Rainer Kaplinger could also be one of the GC candidates on Bahrain. If you're Bahrain victorious, who had a good time trial here, Kaplinger in fifth, Prisa Pajtors, not a GC rider, in seventh, Bilbao in eighth, Kaplinger top 10 in Valenciana. Bilbao is a good GC rider. We know those two riders can climb. Those two riders can top 10 this race. Bilbao can podium this race. But is your strategy not, instead of setting a super high tempo maybe set a high tempo with the team you have and then attack with one of your two leaders, maybe Kaplinger first, hoping that UAE sends one of their riders there to somehow find at least one rider on the podium?
Yeah, that would be the play, is to have like, use the UAE riders playing numbers against them. And so UAE will still win the race, because Kaplinger is not, he lost 44 seconds to McNulty on that Valenciana mountaintop finish. And he'll get dropped by Yates on her feet. But you're right, if they can get into a situation where he can attack, do his pace, the others in group two don't pull at all, maybe he can get into third if Vine has to defend. But in the reality, all three could just jump on his wheel, frankly, and then attack him later. So it's going to be really tough, because not only McNulty is doing better watts uphill than everybody, he's now got a TT advantage, a significant one of 19 seconds on Bilbao and 17 seconds on Van Wilder. So especially with those guys not really having teammates, I'm sure O'Connor, who did a very, very good TT, actually finishing... He also did it in the, we're just going to assume it's the, you know, less preferable weather conditions. We don't know that for sure, but he came ninth in this TT. I was not expecting that on a flat TT, so that's a good start for him. Only 20 seconds behind McNulty and 8 seconds ahead of Adam Yates. But just diving back into the TT, it looks like, the T1 was slower. So T1... McNulty was over a kilometer an hour quicker than second, which was Vine to T1, and Bjarg was also there in third at T1. So either McNulty did a positive power split where he tried to push more watts comparatively in the harder section and slower section, or he got better wind conditions, or both. Perhaps both. He even mentioned in the interview afterwards, they had a good forecast. And then he was sixth from T1 to the finish, McNulty, but he lost 6 seconds to Vine there. He also he did the same time as Foss there, a little marginally slower. So he set a stall out early. And then if I look down, Van Dijk is sort of similar. Van Dijk was slower to T1 to the finish, and he was top 10 to T1. So maybe there is some truth. Same with Szilard. If you look at Szilard, sixth to T1. So maybe, and then 37th, T1 to the finish. So option A, he completely stuffed up his pacing plan. He also went earlier, by the way. Or option B, he had better wind conditions. Or option C, both. So, but listen, that's not luck. It's not luck if you have the better if you know the forecast, you put your riders in the best slots and then they perform. That's part of this.
Exactly. That's an important factor. And then you look at Tobias Voss, who goes at the end of the time trial, and you see in his time trial that he doesn't lose any time in the second half of the TT compared to McNulty. But in the first half, he's basically losing, I think, around 14 seconds, roughly. So you see that in the harder part, he's losing more time. And then you ask yourself, if it's different wind conditions, if Voss would have started earlier, would he have been closer to McNulty? We don't know that. It depends on whether there actually were different wind conditions or not. A lot of ifs in this one, but I will say when it comes to Tobias Voss, I think it's time that we kind of put the World Championships perform on the side and look at Voss with a new baseline of being a top 5 to top 10 World Tour ITT rider. Because if we keep comparing Voss's ITTs towards World Champion winner, then we'll never be happy with his performances. We'll always be disappointed.
But also, I think it's realistic to, in this field, on the Ineos setup, he signed as a TT first GC prospect. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that unrealistic to expect him to win this. Like, I accept, if he lines up against Ganna, Remco, wow, you shouldn't be like, can you win today? Like in World Champs, I agree, but this is a very weak field, Benji. McNulty's never won a TT outside of National Champs, as I said. I'm not saying they're bad TT riders, but they're not specialists either. Jay's a good TT rider, won Australian National Champs, but he hasn't won a TT outside of that. He won Dauphiné TT last year, don't get me wrong, but he also is not frequently in the top three of World Tour TTs either, especially flat ones. So 2 seconds ahead of Kepplinger. I acknowledge maybe Kepplinger had better wind conditions, but Kepplinger's probably on 50 grand, and I don't know how much they've spent. Bahrain did a good TT today, but the last 2 years, their TT setup's been shit. And so the money in their TT setup that's been invested is not the same as Ineos, and Visma Lisa bike also. Lemon, not a good TT today. I know he's a Neo Pro, not a Neo Pro, he's on Human Powered Health, but he's 30th. I was expecting more from him. And their best rider was Van Dijk, so maybe they got the weather prediction wrong, or the riders weren't good enough, or the setup wasn't good. But yeah, they didn't have a good TT today at all, Visma Lisa bike. But yeah, with Voss, Benji, isn't that the point that, like, why is Joshua Tarling at Gran Camino? Doesn't he clean this up?
He on paper does. I agree.
Like, by 10 seconds.
Camino has a TT. He's probably going to win the TT, but he can also win the UAE Tour TT.
And yeah, Camino's a 2.1.
Exactly. So I'd rather see him in a World Tour ITT. But hey, looking at the Voss performance, I just think that you're right. He signed at a value that he should be winning these time trials, most likely. But also, to me, he looked... Is it just the difference between wearing a yellow kit and a black kit, or did he look more lean?
I don't know. I didn't compare. I mean, maybe he's in fantastic shape, and we'll see that on Jais and her feed. And you know, it is the first race TT he's done with the teams, but... So you don't want to, but yeah, it's compared to the prologue in Romandy last year. I was thinking, if he does that performance, he should be going close here. But also McNulty's flying at the moment, so he's tough to beat, and he probably has a better win slot, as we're guessing. But yeah, on that point with Tarling, it's not he'll probably still win, but that's not a flat it's not a flat TT in Gran Camino. It's an out and back as well, some uphill. So if you can take a World Tour win, like, all teams should be going for as many World Tour wins as possible. So I'm surprised to not see Tarling in the UAE, because there's no Ghana here either.
It's not just Tarling. There's many PT riders that could be at this race that are not at this race that I would be like, oh, it's a World Tour win that you could actually fight for. And I feel like that's a recurring theme this year, right? Where we have the feeling that some riders are going to races that we're not expecting them to perform, or not going to races where you expect them to perform. We have Starling in this case. We've got the likes of Pedersen with the opening weekend. Like that, we had like, I swear I've had like a list of 10 riders in the last week that thought has come up with me in the last year. Like Delina not going to Kuurne, I think that's on the same page. I think our riders focusing so hard on their main goals that they're leaving victories that are valued at something to decide at the cost of potentially not getting that big win?
Yeah, like Kung, for example. I can understand Kung not doing UAE Tour because he wants to do opening weekend. Yeah. That makes sense to me. But yeah, like Ghana doing Algarve against Remco instead of here, or Tarling doing Gran Camino instead of opening weekend or UAE Tour, these scheduling decisions in terms of maximizing wins don't make much sense to me. Now, maybe there's a plan in place that we're not privy to, obviously, as well. So that means it's not optimal to do UAE. Maybe the travel or the lack of difficult stages, because Algarve obviously had a lot more difficult stages than they have in the UAE Tour. I don't know. But it was, compared to previous years, as I've said before, not to take anything away from McNulty, but I was surprised other teams didn't line their riders up for it is a World Tour win. But McNulty, maybe they wouldn't have been able to beat him because he's flying at the moment. One GC at Valenciana, which was his biggest GC win to date. He'd not won, he won Sicily back in 2019, but then winning Valenciana ahead of Vlasov and Hindley and co. And then now winning this TT and perhaps even winning this race overall, he could win his first GC World Tour win. I'm not sure Yates will be able to put enough time into him unless he takes bonies on Jay. So is GC McNulty here, Benji?
Is GC McNulty here? Of course.
But not for you. I mean, for European races. Do you believe in GC McNulty?
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, obviously for GC here, he looks almost the favorite now.
Yeah, I still believe Adam Yates will win the race, but I agree that they're probably going to clean the podium now.
Yeah.
But that being said, GC McNulty, oh, it's a difficult one. As in a one-week race in February plus podiuming UAE Tour is a first step towards it, I would say. I think his consistency in Grand Tours is still lacking. I want to see it at a higher level one-week race first, whether it's a Dauphiné, whether it's a Swiss. Swiss is maybe one where we could see something like that. And would you reckon that Paris-Nice is the one that we're looking at for McNulty? Because he's going against Jorgensen and so forth, against, I completely forgot what the start list of Paris-Nice looks like, by the way, but it's
Roglic.
It's the kind of parkour where I would expect, if McNulty wants to be a GC rider, he should be doing well.
Yeah, there's the Mont Bruy. That's a tough one for me. But it's a really good parkour for McNulty. Notwithstanding rain and crosswinds, which I don't think is his best thing, but there are no long climbs, and there are a lot of steep 7 to 12 minute climbs where he is an absolute killer. So I think it's a really, really good parkour for McNulty. There's a team time trial. UAE will... Who will they have? Pretty good TTT team. But there's also Almeida there. I think an ITT would have actually, frankly, been better for him.
For the team of UAE in general, because they are going once again with Almeida, Sivakov, and Vine in there, and McNulty. And isn't Paris-Nice the race where they've got the TTT where you can finish with a solo rider now? Is that now the new rule there?
And Poggi did drop like a watt bomb at the end sprinting.
UAE, the Emirates can't do this with 4 leaders at the start.
This can be good. I think they should send Vine to Tirreno because, it's only provisional, but why are there 6 climbers on this list? Do they know that the race starts? It's called the Race to the Sun for a reason. The weather's dog shit the first 3 days, and there's usually crosswinds south of Paris, and it's shit. And so I wouldn't send 6 summer riders who are climbers.
Would you expect Paulette here?
Yeah, I don't know where he's going, but I would, especially because Vine, I would send Vine to Tirreno and probably one of Sivakov or Almeida to Tirreno, and then yeah. Finn I would send to Paris-Nice because he's better on the 10-minute climbs than the long ones after high fatigue, yeah. like in Tirreno. So it's kind of like their tour team. I like there's half the race that this team isn't suited for. But yeah, that's, I don't know why we're doing a Paris-Nice preview. I guess there's only so much you can talk about it. UAE World Tour time trial. But no, it is, McNulty does look for these 1 week. It makes sense. Like it makes sense that McNulty, with a shitload of power, he's not 60 kilos, he's more like 70. He can do a good TT. He's done extremely good climbing performances before in like Fort Ardèche or Perigord stage. It makes sense that he should be a good 1 week World Tour GC rider. So we'll see that here, and maybe we'll see that in Paris-Nice. But anything else you want to pick the bones out of this TT, Benji? Anything else that surprised you positively or negatively? I've mentioned, I would say O'Connor is a positive, and Armirel's a positive, although their time keeps changing. O'Connor's 11th now, but anything else that stands out for you?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think once again, confirmation that Ivan Romeo is looking relatively good this year. Getting a top 10 in this time trial is a good sign. Outside of that, I think we can leave this time trial to a side and talk about tomorrow's stage, which is on paper a bit interesting.
Romeo. Okay. It is so funny that Spain can only produce climbers. Like, even if they're created in the wrong body. Lazcano and Romeo are climbers, but they're just really, like, if you look at their power curve, the problem is he's 193 centimeters tall, and Lazcano is like 78 kilos as well. Like, they can only produce climbers. I think, and it's, you had Nelson Oliveira, he's not Spanish, Portuguese, but then on Movistar, yeah. Like, I think Romeo is like Nelson Oliveira regen. I think those two, Lazcano and Romeo, look so good. Do not be surprised if he top fives Jais or even Hafit. He is that good. Jais in particular is a really, really good climb for him. So I can't wait to see how he does there. So great signing for Movistar. But yeah, otherwise, to pick the bones out of this TT, Valter lost a lot of time and Lemon lost a lot of time. So them coming top five in GC doesn't look like it'll be happening. I think Valter came, I thought Lemon might come, or Valter come top five, but that's not happening. But yeah, tomorrow's stage, Benji.
Tomorrow's stage is Jebel Jais. So that is the lighter of the climbs when it comes to the UAE Tour. It's basically a unipuerto stage again, which means 140 kilometers of flat. And then we start a 19 kilometer 5.6% climb. It's a very steady climb and it has a bit of a flatter ending, which means that if you come with it is possible that you've got a group sprint at the top. We've had this in years before, but last year it wasn't the group sprint. We had Einar Rubio, the legend himself, the Colombian on Movistar, have been a moment where he was just in front of the peloton and extended the gap. And
Torres let him out.
Torres, yeah. Bit of a climbing tug buddy.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a performance, but I'm looking at it right now. If we take a look at GC before the stage, we've spoken about it a number of times. UAE's in there with multiple riders at the top. And if I'm other teams, then I would consider the possibility where if you are Ivan Romea, for example, you see the team of UAE and you don't see many domestiques on the climb. You see Mikael Bjerg, he's there. But will he be able to control the entirety of Jebel Jais?
No.
So would you try another Einar Rubio? But the problem, Dennis, if you do that, UAE has enough riders that they can actually just follow any attack with a leader every time.
That's what I would do, yeah. It's if, like, Romeo goes, you put Vine on his wheel or Yates on his wheel, And then you're sitting pretty. Pretty, like, McNulty, Vine, and Yates. Yates, I think, Rubio won last year. Remco won the uphill sprint, but it was Yates third and second behind Remco, who's fast in these finishes. So, like, Yates can win this stage. Yep. McNulty can win this stage. Vine can win this stage if they attack and play their cards right. Like, Vingegaard won on this finish by going with, like, 1.5 Ks to go or so, maybe in less when Lutsenko was solo. So the break can also win, depending, but I think that's unlikely, but Lutsenko nearly won. He was battling into a headwind, I think, when he was in the breakaway back in, can't remember, 21 maybe.
I think so.
Van Wilder, they got Jan Hirt. Jan Hirt maybe makes the climb hard and thins it out for Van Wilder. Van Wilder won on Foyo or Malhau. Like, he's got a decent kick on this sort of finish.
Bro lost a minute 12 in the TT.
Van Wilder or Hirt?
Hirt.
Hirt, yeah. Van Wilder did a really good TT.
Yeah.
So yeah, Hirt will be to his side, and maybe they'll go, if I was them, I would make Hirt pace and try and get rid of one of the three UAE riders and get Van Wilder some bonies. Would be, because then he'd be on. Yeah, that's what I would do. Try and get him on the podium of this race, and he's good for this finish. Is there anyone else? Who do you think wins tomorrow?
I feel like UAE can't lose this stage. But if they do, it's going to be some, like, random attacking guy that they're going to be underestimating or not responding to, like Simon Carr or something.
True, he did a decent TT for his size.
That's my feeling about it.
Simon Carr? That could certainly happen.
UAE in an uphill sprint here, if we take a look.
Yeah, but who's going to lead out their sprint?
Uphill sprint is UAE will lead out. Wow, that's a good question, actually. Jay Vine, I reckon, is going to do lead out of the tree.
I think so. You can't make the leader's jersey do it, McNulty. And Yates, they want to keep for her feet, so probably Vine. But then Vine's 26 seconds ahead of Yates on GC.
Yep. Well, you have to choose someone as a team. To responsibly as team leader, as like a team manager in the car, you have to choose someone here.
Yeah. I would... who am I going to go with? I'm going to go with Ben O'Connor's going to do the Vingegaard flyer and win. He looks in good shape, and he always has cojones to go. Again? Good.
I think Van Eerfeld has a solid sprint.
Yeah, yeah. Good sprint.
I reckon I'm going to go for him.
That's a nice pick, and he really fits the Vingegaard 21 trajectory. Yeah. Maybe not winning the tour the year after, but... No, but he's in that phase, right? Where he's maybe... the problem is he beat McNulty, so McNulty knows who he is. He beat him in Mallorca.
I think Van Eerfeld just has a better sprint in my head than Carr, so the likelihood of him winning is more.
Yeah, and Van Eerfeld is in... He's a good climber. He's a really, really good rider. So he... Okay, you're going with him, like, what, Vingegaard style or literally from the bunch?
Both?
I'm going O'Connor. O'Connor, I remember he won that La Molina, or he won in Catalonia. He always has the cojones to go for it. And so I'm going O'Connor to win this stage after a good TT. Yates might tag him. And then I actually think Yates should be the favorite for this stage. I think Yates...
Yeah.
He will be wanting to get some time back, I would say. And he'll be aggressive, even here. But yeah, I can't wait to watch it. It's the first, long mountaintop finish of the season tomorrow. I actually like Jais.
Roughly.
I think Jais is actually more interesting than Hafid some of the time.
I this year, I don't know, actually. It depends on which year. Because, I don't know, man. Nah, I won't accept that. I won't accept that.
You won't accept it.
I won't accept that.
Fair enough. But yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it tomorrow. Is there any other news that's popped up in the last, I guess, 24 hours, Benji?
Not really. I think I heard some news about the update on the points from Andalusia.
Yes.
They would only be getting 20 points from the stage itself, which it's not 220. So I reckon if I'm a spectator and I'm saying, okay, it doesn't deserve 220 points, I'm fine with whatever the UCI decides. Reducing it is a good decision. But if I'm Lotto, I'm probably complaining behind the scenes because that's a serious bite.
Well, there's two sides to it, right? Because, how can you get so many points for 5 kilometers? Those teams stayed there all week. Yep. They sent good riders there all week. Like, And Van Hills was trying to, he tried to go to VAR, but his flight got delayed and he couldn't, because they want the points and they just also need the racing. So yeah, I see both sides to it.
Van Hills' flight was, he missed his flight because he had to go to the GC ceremony that they're not giving his points for.
No way.
Yes.
Fuck, that's on the nose, isn't it?
But that being said, that story aside, my issue with their decision from the UCI is that it's completely unbased on actual rules. Because it's either a one-day race or it's either a stage race. You can't have a stage race with one day according to the rules itself. So they're just inventing a rule on the go, which...
Yeah, they basically just made it a stage.
Yeah, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I kind of do think it's unfair to all the teams. Like, the teams went there wanting... They sent and scheduled riders based on points and race. So it is... When you actually think about it a bit more.
Of a one-day race. I don't care if it's a 1.1 or a 1.pro. 1.pro is the most logical, but that's a lot of points.
Yeah, I think 100 points is fair.
Yeah, I think 1.1 is 125 or something. That's fair, I think.
Otherwise, he didn't know that in advance, did they?
Yeah.
That's also the unfair thing. If they were told on Thursday, this is, you're going to get 20 UCI points.
Yeah.
I guarantee he would have got sent to Classic VAR and then the stage race. I guarantee it.
What's the point of a UCI commissaire being at the race if it's not for making a decision like that on the moment?
I guess because it was changing so much. Like, it was a stage race and then it was only last minute. So it was a changing scenario.
Yeah.
But I agree it's a little bit unfair on those teams that stayed there. And, you know, Bahrain sent like Boutrago, Pools, Hay, Karoo, like a good team too there as well. Other news, Eddie Dunbar, he was out. He's out of the UAE Tour after breaking his hand in a crash, the big crash yesterday. I feel like he broke his hand or hurt his hand last year. Before the Giro as well. So I don't know if it's the same hand. But yeah, that he was... Pardon?
Fractured hand, Valenciana.
Yes. So that's literally 2 weeks apart in the same period of the... in the same period of the year, 2 years in a row. He is doing the Giro d'Italia, so that will change his preparation, one would think. At least with a fractured hand, you can go to the trainer, I think. So...
You've tested that last week, huh?
No, my hands are good. Well, they're not fractured. They're just...
True. Close enough.
I don't get paid enough to go on the trainer for more than an hour. So the weather's too good outside. I'm spewing. Anyway, that's all the news. Hope you enjoyed the UAE Tour TT recap, and we'll see you with the Jebel Jais recap tomorrow. Until then, ciao.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.